ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 15 एंटाइटल परशुराम द लॉर्ड्स वॉरियर इनकार्नेशन टेक्स्ट 32 दृष्ट्वा स्वसैन्यं रुधिराग्नकर्दमे दृष्ट्वा स्वसैन्यं रुधिरौघकर्दमे रणाजिरे रामकुठारसायकये रणाजिरे रामकुठारसायकैः विवृक्नवर्म ध्वजचापविग्रहम् विवृक्नवर्म ध्वजचापविग्रहम् निपातितं हैहय आपतदृशा निपातितं हैहय आपतदृशा By manipulating his axe and arrows, Lord Parshuram cut to pieces the shields, flags, bows, and bodies of Kartavirarjuna's soldiers, who fell on the battlefield, muddying the ground with their blood. Seeing these reverses, Kartavirarjuna, infuriated, rushed to the battlefield. There's no purport, so we'll go ahead till we get a purport. Text 33. Then Kartavirarjuna, with his 1,000 arms, simultaneously fixed arrows on 500 bows to kill Lord Parshuram. But Lord Parshuram, the best of fighters, released enough arrows with only one bow to cut to pieces immediately all the arrows and bows in the hands of Kartavirarjuna. Text 34. When his arrows were cut to pieces, Kartavirarjuna uprooted many trees and hills with his own hands and again rushed strongly toward Lord Parshuram to kill him. But Parshuram then used his axe with great force to cut off Kartavirarjuna's arms, just as one might lop off the hoofs of a serpent. Texts 35 and 36. Thereafter, Parshuram cut off like a mountain peak the head of Kartavirarjuna, who had already lost his arms. When Kartavirarjuna's 10,000 sons saw their father killed, they all fled in fear. Then Parshuram, having killed the enemy, released the Kamadhenu, which had undergone great suffering, and brought it back with its calf to his residence, where he gave it to his father, Jamadagni. Text 37. Parshuram described to his father and brothers his activities in killing Kartavirarjuna. Upon hearing of these words, Jamadagni spoke to him as follows. O great hero, my dear son Parshuram, you have unnecessarily killed the king who is supposed to be the embodiment of all the demigods. Thus you have committed a sin. My dear son, we are all Brahmanas and have become worshipable for the people in general because of our quality of forgiveness. It is because of this quality that Lord Brahma, the supreme spiritual master of this universe, has achieved his post. The duty of a Brahmana is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is pleased with those who are forgiving. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Different personalities become beautiful by possessing different qualities. Chanakya Pandit says that the cuckoo bird, although very black, is beautiful because of its sweet voice. Similarly, a woman becomes beautiful by her chastity and faithfulness to her husband. And an ugly person becomes beautiful when he becomes a learned scholar. In the same way, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras become beautiful by their qualities. Brahmanas are beautiful when they are forgiving. Kshatriyas, when they are heroic and never retreat from fighting. Vaishyas, when they enrich cultural activities and protect cows. And Shudras, when they are faithful in the discharge of their duties, when in the discharge of their duties, pleasing to their masters. Thus, everyone becomes beautiful by his special qualities. And the special quality of the Brahmana is described here, is forgiveness. So, for those who are hearing, probably just one shloka today, or just a bit of a series of them, maybe not able to fully appreciate the context. And therefore, a understanding of the context, or what exactly is the incident, is also equally important. I am also out for 1.5 months, so I have to just read the story just to get the context, what exactly. Many a times devotees express that I have been reading Bhagavatam for so many, I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for so many months or years, but this daunting task of reading Srimad Bhagavatam is very difficult. Standing in front of the bookshelf which contains all the Bhagavatam which we have purchased long ago and kept them as it is without even opening the plastic cover that binds it. Sometimes when I go to someone's house and I say, you have Bhagavatam? Yes. Which canto? Fourth one. Okay. Maintaining its sanctity and purity. So, and the reason they express why they find it very difficult is they start reading, it's quite absorbing, sometimes a little boring, because his son was this, his son was this, or sometimes too much philosophical content. So many have expressed. I started the first canto and came to second canto, the whole part of creation and all that. And some reason it stopped. 2 years later, again I started first canto, came to second canto, went few extra chapters and stopped. Now, third time I did till almost like the third canto. But somehow, Prabhuji, it's like, as I said, standing in front of that shelf looks like an ant standing in front of Himalayas. When will I ever be able to climb over it, cross over this insurmountable, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam? So, it's true practically with everyone because of lack of time and also sometimes you get lost, actually. So one time I asked devotees, all right, tell me, what is there in 6th canto? What is there in the 8th canto? Ab wahan tak gaya nahi hu Prabhu ji abhi tak. I have not yet gone there. Sometimes during some festival, they go to 7th canto to read Narsingadev. That's same pastime again and again, finish it, that's all. Or sometimes Vaman Leela, so they read 8th canto, something like that. Never actually done the whole thing. So they were asked, it was asked, actually how to go about it. So I would like to share some good news, some secret of how to climb this mountain and cross over successfully. One devotee expressed after 11 years of being in the movement, he said, I got this book, Srimad Bhagavatam Condensed, of Purna Pragya Prabhu. Just one book. That's all. All the 12 cantos in one book. I felt so relieved. And I decided, I'll just read it through in 1 month. I took a vow. And I started and I finished. For the first time, I saw the full picture of what's in the Bhagavatam. The purport sometimes overwhelms and I get so much involved that I forget what happened. I forget the past, I forget the present, I mean the future of the incident, not ours. But and then I got so absorbed. Then I forget what the incident was, what story it is. When somebody asks, I don't know. But I know, I have got the essence actually, I understood. He said that this is the first time I actually read the whole Bhagavatam. Now I know where is what. Now let me selectively go where I want to. Relish, come back. Relish, come back. Now I'm enjoying it. Because I got to just go through the whole Bhagavatam. Just the story, where is what. And I had heard a lot of, I've been hearing so much. Just that story. That's called as a bird's eye view. Sometimes in movie they do that. They show a planet, you know, and then zoom in. Then he just goes like that, and then Asia, and then, you know, zoom in, then India, and then zoom into Maharashtra, and then zoom into Mumbai, then zoom into Chowpatty, and zoom into Radha Gopinath, and then they show. So you know, oh, the devotees are dancing in Chowpatty temple, which is in Mumbai, Maharashtra, in India, in Asia, in the planet Earth. Achha, now I know. And then they take it back. This is happening in insignificant tiny corner. What about all the others? What about those unfortunate souls everywhere? So sometimes it's better to see a bird's eye view, the big picture. Zoom in, understanding clearly where I'm going, for what purpose, to extract, relish it, then come back, see the bigger picture. And there's another book that has come up, Srimad Bhagavatam at a Glance, by Narayani Devidasi. Of course, this Bhagavatam class is not to promote some books. I'm not getting any concession or commission out of these things. But it's a fact, many devotees, it is supposed to be rasamalayam. It's full of juice, pure nectar. Rasamalayam. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. Rasika, we want to enjoy wonderful taste, sweet taste of relationships, the Lord with his devotees. And also experience bhavuka. We want to experience those emotions ourselves, which is the real opulence. Real opulence. We have it. It's like a bottle sealed with, you know, with honey inside, and you're simply licking the bottle and then keeping it back. How to go in, actually. So these devotees, just like for ordinary students, they have to be sent to some tuitions to learn, you know, because they can't understand in the general class. So they are sent to special classes. And those who are very good tuition teachers, after years of seeing these dull guys, they prepare a guidebook that will encourage them to get inspired to study the textbook. Similarly, so many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples very mercifully have presented it in a way that we can actually see the bigger picture, at least know where is what, and hopefully someday decide or increase our desire to actually take the actual book and to relish. So this is wonderful seva done by these devotees, and it will be helpful to understand, you know. Why is it important to understand, to read these scriptures and to remember? Because, as it is explained here by Srila Prabhupada, to develop qualities ultimately, Srila Prabhupada makes two very nice statements here. What Burijan Prabhu calls as, this is real nectar. Nectar means these are like jewels. Some statements are like jewels. And if you are intelligent enough, you will get those jewels every day. If you can pick up one jewel from this storehouse, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya, Sanatana Goswami says, this is a mine of all jewels with purports in the parampara. If every day you can pick up one jewel, very soon you will be a rich person. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, different personalities become beautiful by possessing different qualities. Thus, everyone becomes beautiful by his special qualities. And here specifically he's talking about a Brahmana becomes beautiful by the quality of forgiveness. There is a beautiful verse in the Niti Shastra which says about what is real beauty. It says, Narasya Abharanam Rupam. Narasya Abharanam. When you are decorated with ornaments, you become beautiful. So, Narasya Abharanam Rupam. If there are 100 people sitting, you see someone. But someone stands out because their face is so symmetrical and proportionate. Everything is, in, you know, perfect. So they attract a second glance. Stands out among the crowd, face in the crowd. So Narasya Abharanam Rupam. Out of 100 people, somebody who is very beautiful may stand out in the general crowd. Narasya Abharanam Rupam. Rupasya Abharanam Gunaha. But that a good face may attract, but it won't sustain your attraction if there is not good qualities. Kaikeyi was one of the most beautiful person in whole of Ayodhya. That's why Maharaj Dasharatha spent practically all the time in her chamber only. Practically others didn't exist. But the moment by association of mantra, she banished Lord Ram. Nobody wanted to see her face by the quality that she exhibited of tremendous selfishness and envy. She would hide her face. She was the same. Not that suddenly her beauty became, subtly the beauty was gone, but even grossly beautiful, beauty was the same, but because of that quality. So, Rupasya Abharanam Gunaha. These are the qualities which are very beautiful. Generally, we are attracted in a long term to someone because of their qualities. Good qualities. Gunaha. Sadguna. Sadguna Sampanna, we say. But then it says, Gunasya Abharanam Jnanam. If a person is having very beautiful and that beauty becomes further beautified, ornamented, when it is possessed of good qualities. And those qualities that a person may possess becomes further beautified, gunasya abharanam jnanam, when it is based on sound philosophical conclusion. Because sometimes quality which is based on a very mental platform, manorathena sati dhavato bahi. Even you may have good qualities, but if you don't have solid philosophical foundation, that compassion, say for Arjuna for example, Arjuna exhibited such compassion on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, not wanting to fight. And amazing, five different reasons he gives why he doesn't want to fight. But Krishna called it a weakness of the heart. Hridaya daurbalyam, impotence, klebyam. He said, it doesn't befit you, Arjuna. You look ugly. You don't look beautiful on the battlefield talking about non-violence. It doesn't befit you, at least here. Prabhupada explains. The understanding, see, we all talk about quality. Let's take, for example, ahimsa. Wonderful quality. Everyone must possess this quality of ahimsa. But what is this ahimsa? On a very superficial platform, don't hurt anyone. This is ahimsa. But Prabhupada gives two examples of when this so-called ahimsa will become himsa, violence. Sometimes, or the example is given like a surgeon, a man with some cancerous tumor goes to a surgeon and he says, I have a tumor, can you remove it? And the surgeon says, sorry, I believe in ahimsa. I will die but never cut you open. But doctor, I will die. That's your problem. I believe in ahimsa. Actually, that is himsa, that is violence. You have the knowledge to relieve that person of that suffering, and that relief means physically hurting that person. Physically performing a surgery, tearing open the skin deep inside with a scalpel and cutting off something that is connected with the body, and you have to pull it out. It's very painful. But after the whole surgery, he says, thank you. How much should I pay you? I am eternally grateful to you. But somebody says, no. So there is a superficial quality, goody-goody, kind of niti, on the niti platform. What is niti? Niti or morality? Morality means we'll do something as long as our sense gratification doesn't get disturbed. Let's form a, from today onwards, otherwise, okay, one quality is cleanliness. I clean my house and throw it in the neighbor's compound. My house is clean. Then somebody says, hey, this is not good. Okay, the whole society decides. From today onwards, everyone will dump it into corporation dustbin. That's good. But that's not absolute quality. It's a relative quality. We won't fight. Peace. Honesty amongst thieves, as they say. But sometimes, so war may be necessary. We see here Parashuram is engaging. Slaughtering, literally. Arjuna and Duryodhana and his company were big tumors in the body of the whole society. They would have destroyed the whole society's value system. Therefore, Krishna as the surgeon told Arjuna, you become a scalpel. Nimitta matra bhavasavya sachi. Tasmatva muttishthala jitva shatrun bhungsharajyam. Remove this rascal, this tumor. Is a tumor actually. Cancerous tumor. He's expanding and expanding. Eventually, he'll destroy the whole society. Do this is necessary. So, gunasya abharanam jnanam. Those qualities, which is right now maybe on a very mental sensual platform. I like this, I don't like it. It's not a question of I like it, you like it. It's a question of what Krishna likes. Bharat, supposed to be the greatest devotee. Forgiving, right? We are talking about forgiving. Forgivingness, the quality of a Brahmana. What to speak of Brahmana? A Vaishnava should be possessing this quality. He would never forgive Kaikeyi. He couldn't forgive Kaikeyi. But still, he would have actually killed her instantly. But he said, I will never be able to face Lord Ram. Even though I feel like chopping you off. Immediately wanted to cut off Mantra's head. He dragged her literally by the hair. He said, I'm going to, you hunchback lady, today I'll show you. But then, he restrained himself. He said, no. Lord Ram will not be pleased. So sometimes, knowledge of what is right and wrong, it's very important. So, gunasya abharanam jnanam. And that knowledge, jnanasya abharanam kshama. And the underlying or the ornament of that transcendental knowledge is forgiveness. Keeping the bigger picture, actually what will please Krishna? Because it says here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is pleased with those who are forgiving. But why should we study scrutinizingly the scriptures? Because scriptures tell us how to apply this forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act. Forgiveness is an act. But that act has some underlying emotions. It's like an iceberg, you know, you see an iceberg. Only 10% is visible on the top. 90% is inside the water. Similarly, the deep-rooted beliefs in our heart or deep-rooted beliefs that we have give rise to certain attitudes. Those attitudes give rise to certain perception of the way we see things. And those perceptions give rise to certain way we respond, react in a particular situation, to a particular person, to a particular thing. So that reaction we see is basically the tip of the iceberg. But the underlying perception, the underlying attitude, the underlying belief is really what is really important. And to understand this proper attitude and beliefs and the perception, we need to scrutinizingly study the scriptures. What are the different instances in history, in the scriptures, where people have forgiven and they have been praised for forgiving? And where are the instances where the so-called forgiving has been criticized? It's a foolish act. Shouldn't have. There is justice and then there is forgiving. Two components. The justice has to be meted out. Simultaneously, you have to be forgiving. Different roles we play. Especially when Ashwatthama is brought. When Ashwatthama cruelly slaughters the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi, thinking them to be Pandavas after the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Heinous act, very cowardly act. Draupadi is completely devastated. She's thinking at last the battle is over. And suddenly the biggest disaster in her life. 5 of her sons slaughtered. And Ashwatthama is running away. Arjun takes a vow, catches him, ties him up like an animal, throws him at the feet of Draupadi. But then suddenly, amazing thing about Draupadi, even though so much injustices, so much of troubles she has faced, still she doesn't lose her discrimination. She says, no. After all, he is the son of our guru, son of a Brahmana. We shouldn't be killing him. Plus, what about Kripi? She has only one son. I don't want. And then the father is also dead now. He's the only person for her. Amazing. Even though she's filled with so much emotions, negative, anger. But simultaneously, you know, she's seeing the bigger picture. And no, I think you should. Krishna says, immediately kill this rascal. He's an atatai. He's an aggressor. Bhima looks at Yudhishthira. Give me an indication and I will make him second Kichaka. You can't discriminate which part of the body is which. Within seconds, I'll make him like a football out of, you know, football of simply a muscle, bundle of muscles. Yudhishthira Maharaj, you should not. Dharma. Nakul Sahadev. Yes, Yudhishthira is right. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his eternal associates, Mahabhagavat Vaishnavas, having different opinion of how to forgive and whether to forgive or not, how to do it. It's amazing. And Prabhupada, so loyal to the purport, he says, this is foolishness of this woman. Vama Swabhava. Should not be. Should be punished. Bhima, fully. The militant aspect. And then there is the compassionate aspect. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, do the needful. Please everyone, but do the needful. Kill the person. Punish him. Simultaneously forgive. Very difficult. Dharma sankat. Dharma is so fluid, so dynamic. It's not some static. You know, it's like sometimes people say, why don't you have a clear-cut rules written down? But there is a spirit of the law. There is a heart of the law. And there is a letter of the law. Now, who can understand the heart of the law? Very simple. The person who made the law understand the heart of the person who made the law. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Krishna has made all these laws. And those who understand the heart of the Lord, sadhavo hrudayo mahyam, sadhu naam hrudayam tuham. The devotees understand the heart of the Lord and therefore they understand the heart of all the statement of the scriptures, the purport of the scriptures. Because they know, Krishna will not be pleased. You may follow the law. You may do. Sometimes Krishna tells, do it. And if you don't do it, he becomes very happy. Of course, that takes super first-class servant. Mahaprabhu told Nityananda, don't come to Bengal this time. No, sorry, Orissa. Don't come. And he came and Mahaprabhu was pleased. He broke the danda, pleased. Took Mahaprabhu back to Shantipur to meet his devotees. He was internally pleased. So he takes that kind of a first class. Therefore it is said, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Therefore we have to see how Krishna acts in a particular situation. Or mahajano ye, dharmam tu dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano ye nagata sapantha. How did the great souls act in a particular situation? How did they respond? Then you understand the spirit of the law. Oh, acha, this is the heart of this law, this legal statement. That is why connection with parampara is so important. Even Bhagavatam, if we simply read Bhagavatam without the purports, we will end up blaspheming the heroes and worshipping the villains. It's a fact. That's exactly what happens when people read Mahabharata and Ramayana. You end up worshipping Karna and criticizing and chastising and hating Arjuna. Because very on a sentimental platform, we may judge things with our own understanding of what is the law. See, he broke the law. But they never understand the spirit of the law. And therefore, scrutinizing study of the scriptures is so important, actually. One time we were in Mayapur, we were doing a teacher's training course. And there, one of the subject of discussion was aims of Shastric study. Why are we not inspired to study the scriptures? Because we really do not understand human life is of such responsibility. Especially if you have taken some position, whether you like it or not, we are all leaders. A mother, a father. Even if you have one person over whom you have some influence, you are a leader. Because you are leading by your example. Yadyada acharati sreshtastatta devi. It becomes a responsibility of a leader to act with proper integrity. To set a proper example. Therefore, Krishna also tells Arjun, you may justify and go away out of genuine compassion. You may be actually transcendental to all these things. Lokasangraham evapi sampashyan kartum arsi. But set a good example because people will follow your example. Ah, just see, he ran away from battle. I am also running away. But that may be cowardliness, motivated by cowardliness. It may not be motivated by genuine compassion. It's so easy to follow those examples of leaders which is which is easier to follow for us. The other aspect of a leader, because of which he's a wonderful leader, that so carefully we neglect. So conveniently we neglect. It is so easy to follow certain things. Prabhupada drank Pepsi. Prabhupada saw TV. When did he see? What comment did he make after that? In what situation? It's so easy to look for justification. You establish a worldwide and then you watch TV for the rest of your eternity. Sometime watching in a plane, he just saw Charlie Chaplin and he said, ultimately all sense of humor comes from Krishna. That's all, he said. But you hear just Ardha Kukkuta Nyaya, just take that and say, see, I can show, look here. So and so says in conversation, not even conversation, some memories. What about the whole of Bhagavatam where he wrote his purport very consciously? So there is a tendency. Therefore, the leaders are so careful to set a good example. It's such a responsibility. Even Mahaprabhu himself personally would come. One of Prabhupada's good godbrothers, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, he had come around 1991. He had come to our temple. And he was sitting in the Maharaj's room. And all the brahmacharis were called, about the 13, 14 brahmacharis were there at that time. All were called in. So everyone was seated and the temple president was trying to introduce. So he is Mr. So-and-so, he has done this. But Bibi Puri Maharaj was in his own world in the sense, suddenly Mahaprabhu was so wonderful. He started speaking about Mahaprabhu's, you know, as a brahmachari, how he dealt with all his brahmachari disciples. He was so happy to see so many brahmacharis. He went into that mood of how Mahaprabhu set a good example. He told his mother, I can never pay my debt. He was just recollecting all those beautiful pastimes. And after some time he would stop and suddenly the devotee would start. So he is so and so and he's done his LLB. And suddenly he would start another pastime. And then he was telling, and he started crying, constantly was crying. Can't actually imitate. He was just telling, just look, Mahaprabhu would come all the way to Akrur Ghat. From Akrur Ghat, he would come all the way and sit at Imlital and chant till afternoon. Even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means he was indirectly telling us how we should take our sadhana so seriously. Even Mahaprabhu personally, Sankhyapurvaka. Also we read in this, Chaitanya, you know, he was counting in his hands. So the point is, he was trying to make is that it is necessary, because it's so easy to actually pick up those aspects. Anyway, so how do we bring about, actually, what is the underlying principle of all these qualities? Ultimately, the true ornament, beauty of a Vaishnava is the qualities. If you see Krishna, wherever he glorifies his devotees, very rarely we find, I just look at the devotee's nose. What beautiful eyes. Very rare that Krishna has glorified. He may, some may have actually. But really, whenever Krishna glorifies, just see, you know, Krishna, Arjuna asked, Sita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha, Samadhi, how do I recognize a devotee? A self-realized soul, how do I recognize? Prajahati Yada Kaman Sarvan Parthamanogatan Atmanya Vatmana Tushta. Only he is describing the qualities, genuine spiritual qualities. In the 12th chapter, who is dear to me? What is that beginning of that verse? Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo. This is favorite of Srinathji Prabhu. 12th chapter, the last 8 verses. He's glorifying the qualities. Adveshta sarvabhutana maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha kshami santushta satatam yogi dhridanischaya. So many. Yomad bhakta same priya. That is very pleasing to me. When Lord Kapila describes titikshava karunika surada sarvadehina, rare that he is describing the physical beauty. So what really is beauty? Because Krishna is saragrahi. Krishna is saragrahi. He sees the essence of everything. He's a man of essence. The Lord is, he looks at the essence, and the essence of all beauty is devotion. Bhagavad bhakti hinasya jatihi shastram japaha tapaha apranasyeva dehasya mandanam lokaranjanam. To a saragrahi person, a pure devotee of the Lord, you can't impress by any other thing other than devotion. They are really impressed. They are attracted of the beauty of that person's devotion. Krishna is attracted by that. Krishna becomes captured. Oh, what beauty did Shabri have? What beauty did Jatayu have? Even when Giri Govardhan Prabhu became Jatayu, not very. It's a bird. What beauty did Hanumanji have? It's a monkey. Amongst themselves, they may have, you know, all the monkeys, somebody. Well, but then for others, not really attractive. After all, but then really what Krishna is attracted, or his pure devotees are attracted, become really captured and completely bound is bhakti. Such cruel-hearted mrigari who used to take pleasure in half-killing animals and enjoy, take pleasure in seeing them suffering. By the mercy of Narada, within a short time, very short time, when he became a great devotee of the Lord, look at, now, it is never expressed in the scriptures that he would scrutinizingly study Srimad Bhagavatam every day. He was just chanting the holy name by Narada's mercy and strictly following, trying to please his guru. And very soon he developed such compassion, such sensitivity, from highest level of insensitivity to super, super sensitivity. He won't hurt an ant. Sometimes we don't care, at least I don't care. Sometimes early morning you go to the bathroom and then you want to quickly come for Mangalarti and then you see so many ants in the wash basin. What do we do? Hare Krishna. I'm getting late, you know, I have to sign up for devotees. Standing, long standing, 20-year devotees sometimes, you know. We don't care what to do, you know, so much. Throw it along. But Brigadi became such a super sensitive devotee, seeing Krishna within the heart of every living entity, he won't hurt an ant. It's amazing. So, there are two ways. And the essence, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana, sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. Now we may say, all right, I'll scrutinize study tomorrow onwards, I will start New Year resolution to be forgiving. Next year we will take up charity. And maybe 2016 I will take up honesty. So, I mean, when will all the 26, it will take 26 years to develop each of these qualities. And in following one quality, you may have to compromise the next one. So how do we go about it? So Bhagavad says very clear. All these qualities are inherent, natural quality of the soul. Just remove the external covering. And automatically all good qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities of the demigods will automatically manifest in the personality of a devotee. That is why and the process that Mahaprabhu has given is the quickest process, the shortest, the sweetest, the safest. Very easy. That you just chant the holy name, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleanse your heart. And all these qualities, not only these qualities, but it's in its perfection. We know where to do it, where not to exhibit it. The same Mahaprabhu would not forgive Chota Haridas. Very interesting. He was so seemingly hard-hearted. Let him die. I don't care. I will never see his face. Unless we read the purports of the great Acharyas, we will never understand why he behaved like that with Kala Krishna Das. When to accept, even for the self, you know, how to accept this and even forgive. Like for example, Parikshit Maharaj when he was cursed, Ambarish Maharaj when he was cursed. Actually, I was going through dictionary. The dictionary definition of forgiveness is to stop being angry or resentful upon someone who has committed an offense, mistake or fault. This is the dictionary definition. To stop being angry or resentful. Now, forget about being resentful or angry. Ambarish Maharaj never took an offense in the first place. Therefore, where is the question of forgiveness? He said, you have never offended. Where is the question of me forgiving? So, one extreme we find. Forgive, Lord, those, because they do not know what they do. Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, praying for those who are. I mean, that's like one extreme. And on the other side, we have Dhruva Maharaj trying to take revenge. And sometimes going overboard even. Trying to mete out justice. And going overboard where the sages have to come and say, hey, this is too much. This is okay. You have killed a yakshas. Enough yakshas. Just for one of your brother being killed. Or Janamejaya. Oh, my father was killed by a snake. I will annihilate the whole snake dynasty from this planet forever. Ultimately, you know, great souls had to come and pacify him. It's all right, but don't overdo it. It's important. Justice is important, but then Don't overdo it. So Parshuram, Jamadagni is going to come and say, my dear son, killing a king who is an emperor is more severely sinful than killing a Brahmana. But now if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin. He is actually one of the incarnations of the Lord, Shaktavesh Avatar. What to speak of that? Balaramji. He is chopped off the head, killed Romaharshan, sitting on the Vyasasan. No. He can never be wrong. He is perfect. He is the original guru. He knows the scriptures. He knows the heart of the scriptures. But simultaneously, as just to show to the world, he actually went and repented or he prayaschitta by going to the holy places and performing, you know, all this. Even if you're doing the right thing, still, you know, to show that one cannot justify these things, one has to do something like some kind of a prayaschitta for meeting out justice. Because sometimes it's a responsibility. So in scriptural study, we were told three aspects: knowledge, skills, and values. Like a good teacher, if you want to be a good teacher, you should know the subject matter very well. A teacher should know his subject, knowledge. And then the skill. Skill meaning communication skill you should have. You may know the subject, but if you're not able to communicate, if you're not able to, presentation skill, language, if you don't have good language, language is an effective conveyor of thoughts. And then there are the value system. Certain value systems one teacher has. A good teacher is one who loves his subject. A better teacher is one who loves teaching. But the best teacher is one who loves his students. Because if you love your student, naturally you will equip yourself with whatever skills and knowledge necessary to serve effectively. So a devotee is possessing of all good qualities because ultimately he wants to the extent he becomes a servant of the servant. When he wants to serve, genuinely wants to serve, then all his exhibitions of those qualities are the perfection of those qualities. His chastisement is also the perfection of chastisement. Like Vidura speaking harsh words to Dhritarashtra is glorified in the Bhagavatam. It had the required effect. He was able to serve Dhritarashtra for his benefit. And that's exactly what Mahaprabhu is distributing. Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayor Das Dasanu Das. And not only is he giving the sound philosophy, but simultaneously giving the mercy. Because on our own we have no power to acquire these devotional qualities. Therefore, Mahaprabhu was glorified by Rupa Goswami, Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradaya. You don't see the quality, you don't see the place, you simply are distributing, my Lord. Not only tasting, but distributing. That is why Yamraj, when he saw that Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu have forgiven Jagai Madai of all their sins, now Yamraj fainted. Now think about this. Actually, Yamraj fainting. Generally, Yamraj is a seasoned person. It's just like, you know, those who work in the forensic medicine or those people or go to the jail, regular jail also, or a police or jail superintendent. Every day, hundreds of thieves. Some are big thieves, small thieves come. And regularly he's punishing. Regularly he's punishing. So they are so seasoned. You know? And if a small pickpocket comes, for us it's big, pickpocket. Yeah, pickpocket. Udhar bheja usko. Seasoned fellows. Or like surgeons. Or a warrior. A warrior is regularly seeing, suddenly you see blood, we may faint. But when he sees blood, he's in his like enthused. Like motivated to actually, you know, in his elements. One time, one of my relatives passed away. So they called for a, what is that, hearse van? Hearse, dead body they carry, that van. So that fellow came. I think every day he must be doing 50 of these kind of things. So he got down and he was, everyone was crying and, you know, all my relatives. And he was smoking a bidi, standing next to that, you know. And he asked my main person, one person was taking full charges. Ho gaya? Ho gaya. He just loaded that. I mean, we may be crying for us, but he is seen regularly off and on. He sees so many dead bodies. So, Yamraj in his abode, regularly seeing the biggest of sinners, since time immemorial, is being seen. And he has to faint. Really, he was overwhelmed. They don't faint, you know. You show some little magic and a magician or children are, but you show some little magic to PC Sarkar, he won't faint. So seasoned person like Yamraj, who knows everything about sins, who knows the science of sinning, he actually understood what is the amount of sin of Jaga and Madhai. And he understood, this man, who is this person who has excused them? And blank, completely washed off. And okay, that's also bringing from negative to neutral is one thing. Super positive. Given them pure love of God. Muktanam visiddhanam narayana parayana sudurlava prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. Which is not even available to the muktatmas. Only one, Madhavendra Puri, had released it. And after that, very few like that. And that was thrown away even to Jaga and Madai. It's too much overwhelming. So what good fortune. So we see by Srila Prabhupada's mercy how all those devotees who took up the process of Mahaprabhu need not specially endeavor for developing. Specifically we may try. But if we simply follow this process, in and of itself, the process is so potent, so powerful. Because once, as I said, the underlying iceberg, a deep belief. What is that? Jiver Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas, Gopi Bhartur Padakamale or Das Das Anudas. If we are fitted into that belief, sound footing, foundation of genuinely being the servant of the servant of the servant, then a service attitude develops. And that service, no, it's not just the service, it's actually the attitude behind that service, which is actually pleasing to Krishna. Duryodhana ka bhogana khayo. He wanted to serve, but Krishna was not impressed. Rukh sakh vidur ghar khayo. So, attitude, service attitude, Prabhupada writes. Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the follower. He writes in Nectar of Instruction. And from that attitude, we develop a particular perspective of looking at things. We perceive things in a different way. And that action, which is born out of that attitude and that foundation of being genuinely the servant of the servant of the Lord, and therefore, what will actually please the Lord? What will actually please the spiritual master? Individually, collectively, with this understanding, strong understanding of good scriptures, and skill means personal application and preaching application. How in a society, how we have to develop this, how to exhibit these qualities in society. Socially, we may exhibit this quality in a different way. Individually, we may exhibit this quality in a different way. As an institution, we may exhibit this quality of forgiveness in a different way. There are different aspects. But always the consideration is, what will please the Lord? What will benefit the living entities? What will genuinely help them to achieve the perfection? If that is there, then even if we go a little overboard or under, we are protected. yogakshemam vahamyam. He will supply what we lack. He will protect what we have. But if this is not the underlying principle, then all these things may simply puff up our ego, actually, and will really not please the Lord. So that is what Mahaprabhu has come to give in Kali Yuga. Knowing Kali means practically no qualification, only discount, because people have no money to buy anything. 100% discount is the only thing that works. Kali means no qualification. We can't pay. To buy something, we have to pay by qualifying ourselves. But in Kali Yuga, practically there's not. Therefore, Yugavatar, he comes, he knows if I ask people to pay, nobody will pay. They have nothing. So therefore, he is giving the patra, he gives you the qualification, and he fills the quality also. If you simply take up the process. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. I don't know. My thought process was, I hope, hopefully, in alignment. Any questions or? Yes. Two we'll take and then we'll stop.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you made a very clear point that as far as forgiveness is concerned, there is no strict rule that this is what happens, then we have to follow this. The base is very clear that if you are very strict in your Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will reveal you from within what you are supposed to do and what you are not supposed to do. But sometimes the doubt is there that in our scripture, there are some personalities like Bhima, like Lakshman, in Ramayana too. These personalities, we could see it in their lifestyle itself. They have never shown any forgiveness in their life. And yet they were considered a pure devotees. When we see that, at the same time, we know it that we are supposed to just follow the strict rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness and Krishna will reveal it. But sometimes some incidents happen in our life where we are really perplexed. Sometimes we feel that I am not in a Krishna conscious standard so high, and am I going out of my track by not showing, by becoming more, so to say, angry, or am I following this and Krishna is going to take care of everything? This type of a perplexedness, when it comes in our heart, at that time, what should a devotee do it so that he can come properly in a proper consciousness?
The purports at that time. Don't go by the story. Read the purports. Otherwise, you will never be able to understand. Lakshman acted like that. You know, he was harsh. We were discussing the other day. Lakshman was so harsh. You know, he said, Dasharatha. When Mantra, Sumantra asked, after dropping Ram, Lakshman and Sita near Guha's place and from there, you know, near that river just to cross, he asked, any message? Tell that lusty person that because of him only all these things has happened. You think Lakshman doesn't love Maharaj Dasharatha? He loved him most, as much as any of the four brothers. But his love for Lord Ram overwhelmed that situation. And therefore he was critical. But not he was offensive. He was never offensive. He was critical a little. That's because of his love for Ram. The example is given, sometimes a person takes care of a cow. The cow knows that this person loves me. He's taking care of me. Very much obliged. Cows are, you know, mode of goodness. So very much, of course, mode of ignorance. All animals, but amongst them. Now, the cow has very, very gentle nature. But suppose the cow has given a calf. And when that same man comes very close to the calf, the cow just, you know, pushes that person through the horns. It's not that hatred for that person, but love of the calf. So it's like that. This kind of exhibition by this, according to their particular nature, is also an expression of, and it was actually pleasing to Lord Ram. I mean, the sense, the ultimate issue, not may not be immediately said, hey, don't speak like that. Bharat also, when Bharat was coming, immediately became angry. Now he has come here also. You know, he had to be pacified. So that same love for Ram was expressed by all these different devotees in different ways. So we have to see the intent. And also, we see different people when they went over or under, Krishna corrects in their own way, in his own way. Lakshman misunderstood Bharat, and he was also misunderstood by Sita. What's your intention? Some kind of a transcendental reaction. You may get it. But then the process is basically, that's why we need purports. Otherwise, very bewildering. These pastimes are very bewildering. A deeper understanding of Shastra helps us to apply these principles in a proper way. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And regarding smaller, even other things, if we have, once I asked, Soliness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, I have read the Shastra. Guru is not regularly available for even small decisions. Sadhus are also sometimes, you know, I can't connect with everyone. I can't relate with everyone. I may not fully trust anyone for this particular decision. I'll take some guidance from whomever I... Then how do I know whether I'm right? My decision is right. He said, with the best understanding of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, with consultation from your God brothers, God sisters, with a sincere heart, try to judge your own motivations. And if you are sure that your motivation is not anything else other than what will be the best for everyone and myself, go ahead and be ready to face the reaction, whatever happens. That is the best way, Krishna wants us. If it is over, Krishna will purify, accept it with gratitude. If it is perfect, it's Krishna giving good intelligence, dadami buddhi yogam, accept with gratitude. In every situation, continue to thank and go ahead. That's all. Very simple. I deserved it. Parikshit Maharaj, put that little snake, dead snake. He's the emperor of the world. Even if he had cut off the throat of someone, nobody would have questioned him. Look at himself, taking full responsibility. Full responsibility. My fault. He was actually prepared for the biggest reaction. Biggest reaction. Let it come. And when it came, he actually accepted it with all grace, I mean, as a mercy of the Lord. That's, you know, datte nukampam. That's the qualification. So if these guidelines are there, then you are safe, protected, no problem. Yes, Prabhu, one last question.
No, Prabhu, especially in grihastha life, I'm sure it's there in brahmachari also, but in grihastha life, we have to take multiple decisions, quick, long, business, home, you know, where it's very tough. So from what you said, to take a right decision, it seems that the bottom line is strong sadhana. And you talk right in the beginning that Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Jews. When we chant, we don't even feel like chanting. You're actually supposed to, you know, tears of joy should come when you, if you chant the holy name properly. But we don't even feel like chanting in the first place. So how does one make sure that, you know, your sadhana is really, really solid so one can take proper decisions in everything that one does?
Whatever quality you want to develop, associate with those who have that quality. something will brush off. That is the only secret. If you want to be developing a taste and associate with those and also serve those, Shushusho Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Syat Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirthani Shevanat. Prabhupada writes in that purport, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, we have no Ruchi. But by serving those who have Ruchi, how do we know where they have Ruchi? And how does it come, the taste come to us? He explains, these devotees are risking their life to please the Lord. Because they are risking their lives to please the Lord is highly obliged. Highly obliged to them. And when and therefore, because he's highly obliged, when such a person is pleased or satisfied, and he kind of makes prayers, then automatically the Lord's mercy flows. So by serving those great souls, the quality of those great souls comes. And what is those quality? They are eager to hear. They are eager to take shelter. They are eager to serve. So that's the secret. By Vasudeva Sat Mahat Sevaya. By serving those. And serving means basically understanding what will please them. Not just physically alone. But actually what will please them. How do we know what will please them? Ask them. They tell. They are always telling. And they are not pleased. It will please me. Because Krishna will be pleased. Therefore whatever pleases Krishna, I am pleased with that. And Krishna has expressed very clearly what pleases him. So that effort itself is pleasing. That sincere desire to please itself is pleasing. And the Lord reciprocates. And from within gives that taste. It is not an artificial, it's like a nice process. We just have to have faith in that process and continue. Follow. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya, Granthāra śrīmad-bhāgavatam ki nitāya gaura-prēmānandī.